Hey, this is Stacey Gatsoulias.
DC Lundberg.
Ryan Finkelstein.
Taylor Blake Ward.
Host of Locked On Yankees.
Locked On Mariners.
Locked On Mets.
Locked On Angels.
And you're listening to Locked On Braves.
Locked On Braves.
Locked On Braves.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hey, everybody, welcome to another episode of Locked On Braves, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, and our friends at Tegna and the Odyssey Group, Locked On Podcast Network, making sure you get all the information you need to be the smartest fan you can be. There are Locked On shows for all of your favorite teams from all of your favorite leagues. Maybe that's baseball, football, soccer, basketball, hockey. I don't know. Chances are if you've got a favorite team or a favorite player, there's a podcast and a podcast host dedicated to making sure you know exactly what you need to know to be the best fan possible. You've got a lot of things going on in your life. Don't worry about trying to find the minutia of why you should like this team more than another team. Let the host of your favorite Locked On podcast team be that voice for you. Make sure you like and subscribe on all of your favorite platforms, whether that's iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spotify, whatever. Just like and subscribe, and you can be kept up to date whenever a new episode drops. That way you don't have to do all that annoying work yourself. Just follow along, and you can be kept up to date. You can be the smartest guy or girl at your job. You can be the one that everyone turns to for fantasy advice, or just to show off a little bit about how smart you are. Locked On Podcast Network, providing you all the information you need for your teams every single day. Today's episode is a very nice one for a change for the Braves. Starting out yesterday, I did not think that we'd have a good episode for today. The Braves had a doubleheader yesterday, have another doubleheader today. It'll be DeGrom against Ian Anderson, which is kind of how it's lined up in Game 1. We'll talk about that a little bit later in the show, about maybe I might do something different. But more importantly, the Braves finished out that series with the Cardinals, a four-game tilt, took 3 out of 4, which I think is very, very big. That's something that, for a team that hasn't played very consistently all year, even in the doubleheaders yesterday, the offense really didn't perform very well. But they were able to scratch out one of the two games and take a 3 out of 4 against the Cardinals, which is very nice to see, something that the Braves need to do if they're going to go on any sustained success here and start to make up ground against the Mets. It was nice to see. First game, there was a lot of where you kind of just chalked it up to dadgummit Brian Snicker being Brian Snicker again. Bryce Wilson really wasn't all that bad yesterday. I mean, you probably should not have had him try to go through the order a third time. But overall, he wasn't horrible. 4 innings. He gave up 8 hits, 5 earned runs, but those were not all on him. Did allow a homer and 4 strikeouts. Another error by Austin. We'll talk about that in a second. But you did get Freddie Freeman making Yadi Molina look really bad, which he looked really bad this entire series, much to the chagrin of Chip Carey, who refuses to admit that Yadi made the mistake. But Game 1 was not pretty. You got into a high-leverage scenario in the 5th inning, and instead of turning to one of your high-leverage relievers, Snicker made the dumb choice of going to Josh Tomlin, who promptly allowed a 3-run homer, made Bryce Wilson's line look a whole lot worse than it was, as two of those runners were charged to Bryce. Wasn't a fantastic outing from him, but I'm hoping that we can get past this point of where people kind of have this weird revisionist history and start saying that, like, Bryce Wilson would have performed just as well as Waskar and Noah if given the same amount of starts. It's not backed in any sort of fact. Waskar was the best pitcher on this team for the entire time that he was pitching before he stupidly punched a bench and broke his hand. Bryce Wilson has never been the best pitcher on a Braves team. And it's not that I want to say anything bad about Bryce. I think Bryce is a fine candidate. He's about as solid of a high-floor guy in the system. He's a guy that you pretty much march out and say, all right, over the course of his career, he's going to be a 5th starter, and it's apparent that he is a major league pitcher. He is not an elite pitcher by any means. He doesn't have elite stuff. He doesn't have elite strikeout rates. He doesn't have elite command. He is not an elite guy. But what he does do is he attacks hitters. And if you have a manager that's willing to actually use him correctly, that can be done, and that can be very effective. We've seen him be very, very effective in starts. We've also seen him be very ineffective. And yesterday was kind of in between. That's kind of what I call typical Bryce. He's going to be around the zone a lot. Didn't walk anybody. Doesn't have a lot of strikeouts, though. But he did average 1 an inning, which is all you can ask for Bryce. The hits, that's going to be the problem. Because he's around the strike zone so much, there's going to be a lot of balls in play. So if you're facing a team that, or if you're not playing particularly good defense at the time, you're facing a team that's got some mashers, then Bryce might not be suited very well. He's a lot like John Lackey, who I've said over and over and over again for Bryce Wilson. But the bigger story of that is Snicker kind of pooping the bed, for lack of a better word, by adhering to, rather than the leverage situation, adhering to the inning number. So yesterday, they're in seven-inning games, so I still don't understand why Tomlin was the first person you called out of the bullpen, because in the fifth inning, that would relatively be the seventh or eighth inning. That would be the seventh inning in a nine-inning game. So technically, it would still be a high-leverage spot. I don't know why he's so obsessed with the literal inning number as far as who he needs to use, because after Josh Tomlin, he went to Sean Newcomb, who also had an awful outing that pushed his ERA to 6.52. His whip is closing in on 2, which is horrendous. 3 walks, no Ks for Sean. 3 earned runs. 3 runs allowed, all 3 of them earned off of 2 hits. And then inexplicably, when you're already down, the Braves were down 8 runs. Then you decided to bring in Tyler Matzek for the final inning in a game that you were clearly already going to lose. This is what I don't understand about Brian Snicker. Why would you burn Matzek in an 8-run deficit? Why wouldn't you have brought him in when you were down 2 or down 3 or down anything? Why wouldn't you have let Matzek just start the 5th inning? Like I said, it would have been the 7th inning in a 9-inning game. Why would you not have just gone to Matzek then? Instead, you ended up burning him. Luckily, you didn't need him in the nightcap last night, because if you had gotten and had to use, say, an Edgar Santana in a situation that you would have normally used Tyler Matzek, you would have been in some real trouble, because you can't keep burning guys like that. You can't be an idiot. And for a manager that's going to go out there and talk about you can't win doing stupid things in reference to Ronald Acuna, well, Snicker should probably look at himself, because his bullpen decisions are some of the dumbest things in baseball this year, and you see it constantly on this team. So as I've mentioned, as a manager, you don't have a ton that you have to be responsible for. Basically, it's don't make it harder for your team to win. And that's something that Snicker has been failing at a lot this year. I'm not sure why he wasn't asked explicitly about that in the postgame, but he wasn't. And that's one of the things about Atlanta media that separates Atlanta from basically all of the major markets is the way that the managers are treated by the media. They're not really asked any tough questions. Media in Atlanta tends to be more nervous that they'll get their access pulled if they dare ask an actual decent question. And that's probably something that's a change. But overall, I can't complain too much about yesterday. The first game sucked, but I never did. I never expect you to sweep a 4-game set. It would have been nice to sweep it, but you made your idiotic mistakes in the first game, didn't repeat them in the second, so that's really all I'm really looking for there. And you got to make Yadi Molina look like an idiot a little bit, which is always fun. Luckily, the second game went much better. Offense still didn't show up a whole lot. Credit to Kwon-Young Kim, Ryan Helsley, and to Genesis Cabrera for the Cardinals. They pitched very, very well. Luckily, the Braves have someone named Ronald Acuna, where it didn't matter that they only got 4 hits. One of them was a home run. It was that Ronald Acuna bomb off of a low breaking ball by Kim. And overall, didn't see a lot. I think Ronald's homer was the only extra base hit for the Braves yesterday. But Drew Smyly is the story. He was fantastic. We'll talk a little bit more about Drew Smyly and just how good that start was in comparison to what I was thinking it would be. Coming up next, right after this, right here on Locked On Braves. Today's episode of Locked On Braves is brought to you by Freshly. Dinner time can be chaotic, but with Freshly, it's easy. Their chefs take care of your meals a few nights a week and take the pressure off of you. We're all trying to get in shape and eat right. Freshly can help. Their delicious meals are designed by nutritionists and cooked by chefs, making it easier to eat better. Are you stressed? Tired? Maybe you just don't feel like cooking? I feel that way a lot. Food that's fast doesn't have to be fast food. Freshly offers quality meals without the hard work of prepping, cooking, and cleaning. Freshly offers chef-made, nutrient-packed, delicious meals delivered fresh to your door with no cooking required. Grocery shopping and cooking can be a pain, trust me, especially right now. With Freshly, you don't have to do any of that. Your meals arrive cooked and fresh every single week, so you can keep your fridge stocked and skip the trip to the store. Ordering is easy. Just go to Freshly.com and choose from over 30 delicious, satisfying, better-for-you meals like steak peppercorn, sausage baked penne, or their chicken pesto bowl. Freshly can fit your lifestyle with a variety of plans and meals to pick from that work for your dietary needs, preferences, tastes, and family size. And now, our listeners here on Locked On Braves can try Freshly for just $6.16 per meal. Stop searching the internet for healthy food near me every single night and start living life Freshly. Your meals are always delivered fresh, never frozen, and are ready to heat and enjoy in just 3 minutes. With new meals added each week, Freshly brings the convenience of a chef-made, nutritionist-designed classics right to your kitchen. Right now, Freshly is offering listeners $40 off your first two orders when you go to freshly.com/lockedon. Stop stressing out about dinner. Go to freshly.com/lockedon for $40 off of your first two orders. That's freshly.com/lockedon for $40 off your first two orders. Today's episode is also brought to you by Wealthfront. Stocks, memes, rocket ships, day trading can be a lot of fun, but it can also be a lot of work. If you want to make it to the moon, you need to open up a Wealthfront investment account today. Decades of data shows that investors that trade individual stocks underperform the market every single year. In fact, only 1% of day traders beat the market. That's not very high. So the odds are not in your favor if you're doing it alone. So team up with Wealthfront instead. Investing can be complicated, but Wealthfront makes it easy. Whether you're a beginner or you've been investing for years, Wealthfront makes it simple. They have the right tools for every single portfolio. They can create a portfolio of globally diversified, low-cost index funds personalized just for you in minutes with no manual trades, no picking your stocks, no watching the stock market every single day. They automatically handle all the investing based on the preferences that you yourself control. Wealthfront can even help you lower the taxes you pay as you invest. For the average client, their tax loss harvesting can more than cover the low annual 0.25% advisory fee. Best of all, it's automatic. And Wealthfront is trusted with over $20 billion of assets. And you can get your first $5,000 managed for free by going to wealthfront.com/lockedonMLB. All you need is $500 to get started. Grow your wealth the easy way and let Wealthfront do all the work for you. To get your first $5,000 managed for free, go to wealthfront.com/lockedonMLB. That's WEALTHFRONT.com/lockedonMLB to start growing your savings. Go to wealthfront.com/lockedonMLB and get started today. All right, everybody, welcome back to Locked On Braves. In keeping with what we were talking about last segment, let's take a look at Drew Smyly, who kind of saved Brian Snicker a little bit, in my opinion, in the nightcap of that game. So the best outing that I've seen from Drew Smyly in a Braves uniform. Not all the numbers were amazing, but went 5 2/3 out of a possible 7, that's very good for him. One hit, 3 walks, 5 Ks, lowered his ERA to 5.11. His whip to 1.35. Both of those numbers you'd like to see improved upon, but this was a very good start for Drew Smyly, especially considering the crackdown on substances, which officially gets started today. Drew Smyly and Charlie Morton are the two that I thought would be the most affected by Major League Baseball saying, all right, no more rosin, or no more sunscreen and rosin, no more pine tar, no more nothing. You get to just grip the muddy, puffy, stupid baseball. The slippery pearl baseball. I thought Smyly was going to be a lot worse, because even though Smyly hasn't had good numbers this year, it's pretty clear that he uses something too. Basically, here's a good rule of thumb. If you don't see a pitcher put his fingers to his mouth, chances are he's using, and he just doesn't want to, you know, lick off what he's got on his fingers. If you see guys that have a routine where they go to their glove or they touch their forearm a good bit, they're using something. Now, most of the time, it's just going to be sunscreen and rosin, something to give them some tack that's going to allow them to have a grip, which I still believe should be allowed. Major League Baseball kind of screwed themselves by not developing a substance themselves that they mixed together themselves to where they could enhance grip without having a huge effect on spin rate. But Major League Baseball being stupid is nothing new. Major League Baseball always tries to hurt itself in the long run. But for Smyly, I don't want to take the shine off of Smyly. The 3 walks aren't something that you necessarily want to see, but you know what? He didn't give up the big hit. He didn't give up any bombs. He didn't hang too many pitches. I'm perfectly fine with what happened. 5 Ks and 5 2/3, that's perfectly fine. Snicker did almost ruin it by having him try to go through the lineup a third time, but that's okay. I didn't really disagree with how he used Drew Smyly. Now, if he could just bring himself to use him that way in a 9-inning game, I think you'd be perfectly fine with Smyly. But you did see Luke Jackson got a big strikeout as well. Will Smith came in and had 2 strikeouts of his own to get his 13th save of the year. And that was a very, very good pitching performance. And it was needed because the offense struggled, as the offense tends to struggle in doubleheaders. Yesterday was no different. They ended up having 4 hits total in the second game to go along with their meager hit total in the first game. But it doesn't really matter. The Braves got the win. That's really all that really matters. As that's basically, that's what you need. You just need wins. Only allowed two hits on the day. Now, the Cardinals' offense isn't good, but that's not a Braves problem. The Braves have been beaten by poor offenses before, so it was nice to see the Braves and their pitching staff as a whole pitch very, very well, particularly given the no substances. The Braves pitchers have pitched very well, with the exception of Game 1. So, to anybody that thinks that it's not a big deal, by the way, of taking any and all substances away from the pitchers, just listen to the way the pitchers are talking about it. It is a big deal, and it's something that baseball kind of caused themselves. And you can say, yeah, well, it's in the rule book, so pitchers are technically cheating. Technically, you'd be correct. But if you have a rule and you don't enforce it and you tell umpires to look the other way and managers have gentlemen's agreements about not mentioning it to the umpires to have them check, then it's not really a rule. And it's something that, by the way, you may think that your favorite pitcher from the 60s, the 50s, the 40s, the 70s weren't using. I guarantee you they were. Pine tar was not outlawed in baseball until like the 80s, so they were using. Gaylord Perry literally kept a file. That's how he got himself to the Hall of Fame. He was keeping a file in his back pocket and using spitballs and actually got grandfathered in to using his spitballs. I'm not making that up. You can look that up. There were Gaylord Perry and a few other pitchers were grandfathered in to being able to doctor the baseball because they'd been doing it their whole career. And when baseball made the change over and started enforcing the no spitballs and the no files rule, there were Gaylord Perry and a few others were allowed to continue doctoring baseballs because they'd been doing it their whole career. You should definitely go look that up. Gaylord Perry has a lot of fun little things about that, or fun little things like that, that kind of make you think that maybe he wasn't quite what people want to say. Wasn't a very clean player, we'll say that. Was told that when he goes into the Hall of Fame, he should go in with a tube of KY jelly. Was also turned down from a sponsorship from Vaseline, with one of the greatest troll jobs before trolling was even a thing. Definitely go look it up. It's hilarious. But yes, it is a big deal. Pitchers are going to have to grip the ball harder to get the same amount of grip because they're not going to intentionally take down their speed a lot. They might try to go from, instead of throwing 96, they might tone it down to 94, but they're not going to all of a sudden tone it down to 90 miles an hour because that's not going to work either. Hitters today are going to be too good. Pitchers are going to have to try to find something out, and they'll adjust. It should have been handled in the offseason. This should not have been something that you sprung on them midseason, or you should have just said, all right, we know the baseline for a fastball spin rate. We know what the spin rates tend to be with sunscreen and rosin or with pine tar, and we know what they are with spider tack. If we see your spin rates getting up there with spider tack, we're going to take a baseball away from you, or we're going to check you before you get on the mound. If you got something on your fingers like that, we're going to test what it is. If it turns out to be spider tack, boom, you're suspended. No arguments, no appeals, no nothing. You're suspended. That's what it should have been, but we don't always get what we want here in Major League Baseball, or we don't always get what we should be. Speaking of that, today is going to be another banner day for the Braves. This is a very big deal for the Braves coming up. They play a lot of games with the Mets. This is a chance for them to really make up a lot of ground. They have, 7 of their next 11 games are versus the Mets. They got a four-game set versus the Reds sandwiched in between. So this is going to be a very important time for the Braves. This is where the Braves can make up a lot of ground. Technically, they're tied for fourth in the division with the Nationals right now, 5 games back of the Mets. This is a chance where the Braves can really, really get the season back on track. They have a chance to change the entire narrative of the 2021 season so far, and this would be a good time for them to get on one of those patented roles that we have not seen them do this year. This would be a nice time for them to win, say, 9 out of 10 or 8 out of 10, or I don't know, maybe take 5 out of 7 from the Mets in this little set that we have against them. It's going to be tough to do, though, as today you got a doubleheader. We know the Braves' offense doesn't normally perform very well in doubleheaders, and you got to take on DeGrom in Game 1. That is never a fun time. DeGrom, even though the Braves have had a lot of wins against him, DeGrom has been dominant versus the Braves. He's been dominant against everybody. It's just the Mets' offense is garbage and doesn't help DeGrom out at all. Now, the Mets' offense has kind of started coming around a little bit, so you're going to need to take the momentum and the mojo away from them, too, and take it all for yourself. It's going to be Ian Anderson and Kyle Muller will be the two guys that the Braves throw out there today versus Jacob DeGrom. And who's starting game two, who else is set to pitch for the Mets today? Jared Eichhoff. Those are going to be the two. So this is one of those where I might actually consider starting Kyle Muller against Jacob DeGrom. Now, CBS has it where it's set up to be Ian Anderson versus DeGrom and Muller versus Eichhoff. If I'm the Braves, I might actually switch that up. It's going to be hard enough to beat DeGrom if you pitch perfectly. That might be one where I kind of give the rookie and say, all right, go out and you get to take on DeGrom. Maybe it jogs something in him that kind of lets him go out there and be his best self. But more importantly, it gives you a better shot at winning game two. Whenever you're facing a guy like DeGrom, I don't want to say that you punt the game, but you kind of go into that game knowing that it's more likely than not that you're going to lose that one. So instead of wasting an Ian Anderson start on that one, I might have Mueller go against DeGrom, so I could then have more of an opportunity to win the second game, knowing that Ian is probably going to pitch a better game than Mueller anyway, and have him go against Eichhoff, who you feel that the Braves have a much better shot of getting with, especially when you see DeGrom's numbers, which are just ridiculous. A .54 ERA, a .51 FIP, 111 strikeouts in 67 innings to only 8 walks on the season. He actually has more RBI than runs allowed. It's been, bar none, this is the best season for a pitcher of all time. If he can stay healthy, he's going to go down in the history books. He's going to walk away with MVP, and he should. Just otherworldly from DeGrom. So hopefully the Braves can scratch out a run and make that count, make that be enough. But I kind of would like to see Mueller. We'll talk about that a little bit more coming up next. We're going to go ahead and take our last break of the show. When we come back, we'll talk about Mueller getting his first start so soon after his first appearance, and see maybe the differences that you can see in his start versus his relief outing. We'll also talk about some minor league guys, including one that you really need to circle in pen right now and make sure you're watching. So don't go anywhere. We'll be back after this right here on Locked On Braves. Today's episode of Locked On Braves is brought to you by Built Bar. I talk about Built Bars a lot. Why? Because they're freaking delicious. They are awesome protein bars, which I really enjoy because I don't like to eat breakfast. So having a Built Bar is the perfect amount of protein and, fullness, I guess, that I can have without feeling bloated, without feeling like I overate, without feeling like I've kind of messed up my day. Built Bars are perfect. They've got tons of different flavors, so I never really get tired of one. I can always swap flavors around and get to try all the new flavors when they come out, but I can always keep my palate cleansed and always keep it guessing. I don't have to get too used to taking the same one every single time like you do with your more traditional protein bars. They've got a really nice, interesting texture that's more like a candy bar. It's not something you're used to from a protein bar. It's basically, what I'm saying is, it's not boiled leather. It actually is soft and forgiving. It doesn't feel like you're going to break your teeth trying to chew it. They're a fantastic company. If you go online, they're very well priced. And if you use our promo code LOCKEDON15, you'll get a nice little promo at checkout there. It's going to help you with your shipping. And you can try a whole bunch of different flavors, from German chocolate cake to churro to more traditional flavors like peanut butter or peanut butter fudge or salted caramel. They've got a whole long laundry list of flavors that are worthy of trying. They've even debuted the grasshopper. And I mean like the Girl Scout cookie grasshopper, not like an actual grasshopper flying around. Don't worry. You're not going to have to pick wings out of your teeth. But overall, I haven't really found a Built Bar that I don't like. They're a fantastic company. Go there. Don't take my word, though. Just go there and try them out for yourself. Go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON15, and try it out for yourself today. Try out all the different flavors so you can find which one is your favorite. Built Bar, making better protein bars. Welcome back to segment 3 here on Locked On Braves. So before we get into the prospect that I really want to talk about, and there is an ulterior motive, I'm not going to lie to you, let's talk about today's games. So Ian Anderson, what you're wanting to see from him is basically more of what he is when he's right. When he's got his arm slot working correctly and he's mixing that fastball, that curveball, and that changeup in any and all counts, it keeps hitters really, really off balance. And that's going to be important against the Mets. Now, you're kind of getting them at the right time. They're missing a lot of key players. Michael Conforto's basically missed most of the season. They've got some guys that are injured, but you're starting to see Pete Alonso heat back up. Francisco Lindor is finally starting to heat up a little bit. So there are some guys that you kind of have to be wary of a little bit. They still don't strike a ton of fear into your heart, especially defensively, where you feel like that's a one area where you can kind of take advantage of. Unfortunately, the Braves' defense has not been particularly good this year. I've talked about this whole shifting nonsense that they tend to do with a runner on first base, which drives me absolutely crazy, that you're actually making it harder to get the out at second base. It's the dumbest thing I've ever seen. I don't know why Alex Anthopoulos has implemented this. I can guarantee you this isn't coming from anybody on the bench right now. I can guarantee you that's coming from the front office saying, you need to do this. But it's definitely not working. So that's one of those points where if you're a gut feel type of guy, or an anti-analytics, this is probably your one place where you can write this down and be like, see, I told you it's kind of hurting. It's not helping. But overall, the Braves have been kind of rolling. Ever since Snicker opened his big, dumb, stupid mouth and said stupid things about Acuna, the Braves have been performing pretty well. I'd like to see that really continue. Looking at the pitching matchups for today, Ian is going to be the important one. I really, really, really do. The more I think about it, the more that I do, the more I say that I would start Ian in game two. I wouldn't start him versus DeGrom. Maybe you beat him. Maybe Ian pitches an amazing game and you beat DeGrom 2-1 or 1-0. Maybe. But it's a 7-inning game. You got to think DeGrom's going all 7. Unless, God forbid, he gets injured in any sort of way, knock on wood. He's probably going all 7, and there's a fair chance he might no-hit you in 7. That's just how good DeGrom is. So that I might almost consider the first game as like a, well, if we win it, fantastic, but I'm not expecting to win it. So I don't really want to burn my better starter in a game that even if he pitches as good as he can pitch, he's more than likely, 90% likely, not going to outpitch the guy across from him. So I might use Mueller in that scenario and see if maybe facing a guy like DeGrom can unlock Mueller and kind of make Mueller zone in a little bit. Because there's no doubt that Mueller has elite stuff. His fastball is a high 90s, can touch 100. His curveball has been much better this year. It's got a nice bit of depth. He's added a slider in there, too, that I've seen a couple times. I can't tell if it's a harder curve and it's just not getting the depth that I was seeing in the minors or if he's really added a slider into his repertoire. But he's throwing it about 86, so it's kind of in that realm where it could be either. He's got a changeup as well. Mueller, you got to say, if you can get 3 or 4 innings out of Mueller, you feel pretty good. That's why the onus is going to be on Ian again. You're going to need Ian to go deeper into a game. Again, that's why I would go with Mueller in the first game. Because facing Jared Eichhoff, that's going to be the more important game for the Braves. That's the game that you're most likely to win. That's the game you go into today feeling, all right, at worst, let's split. At best, cool, we beat DeGrom. But at absolute worst, let's beat Eichhoff and come out of here with a split and get into games 3 and 4 with a chance to take both of those and win the series. So with Ian, I've talked about it. It's when Ian is at his best, it's when he can mix all three of those pitches and he can mix them in any count. That's what makes him so effective. It's not that any of his stuff is just necessarily that nasty. His changeup can be very nasty at times, and it works very well off of his fastball, but it's because it works so well out of the arm slot. You see before, if Ian's arm slot starts to drop a little bit, he's much less effective, and he starts getting hit around a lot more, and he struggles putting guys away. When he's got everything working out of that same tunnel, then he's able to start racking up those strikeouts. That's when you see him either striking people out or inducing very weak contact because hitters are on their front foot all the time, or they're late on that fastball and they're getting little ground balls early on in the count, and it saves his pitch count. Ian is a guy that I would expect him to go 6 innings, maybe even a full 7, and save your bullpen. So you don't have to worry about that. Let Mueller go against DeGrom. Let Mueller see if he can get that jolt going on. Because Mueller's not a guy with great command. He's still a guy that ultimately I expect is going to find a home. If it's with Atlanta, he's going to find a home in the bullpen. I don't think he's going to be one of the starters coming out of this group. Now, like I think with Tukey and like I think with Haseel De La Cruz, I think Mueller has dominant back-end potential. He's got the stuff for that. And in shorter stints when he can really run that fastball up and not have to worry about hiding anything a second and third time through the order. To me, that's more of the issue is even if he's got his command, it's what do you do the second and third time through? Because he does have two other off-speed pitches, but neither of his off-speeds are anywhere near as good as, say, Waskar's slider fastball combo. So you do have to be more cognizant of what counts you're throwing them in, and you have to be more cognizant of keeping hitters off balance. Otherwise, they're going to sit on you, and they're going to mash you a little bit, and you're going to run into troubles like he did with his first outing out of the bullpen. Luckily, when you're used to starting and you prepare the whole day, knowing you're going to start a game, it is different than it is coming in as a reliever. You can say that being a reliever, the pressure's not quite there. You know you can just go out and be aggressive, so it's easier that way. But it's also more spur of the moment. So the adrenaline is running really, really high. It's going to be running high regardless, but when you're coming out of the pen, it is very high, and you have to go, or in Mueller's case, you get thrown into the fire immediately facing the heart of Boston's order because your manager is an idiot tactically. That was why you saw him kind of struggle there a little bit. And Mueller, knowing that he doesn't always have pinpoint command. It's either good command or bad command. It's not really in between. If you allow him to start, you let him kind of get into the groove a little bit before he has to face the heart of a lineup. You let him get the leadoff guy going into it, or at least prepare the whole day knowing that this is what he's doing, so he can kind of go about his routine the same exact way he would in the minors. And routine is a very important process for starting pitchers, for any pitcher really, but especially for starters. You prepare the same way, and it makes you feel relaxed and that you're ready to go. It means you don't have any extra stress adding into you because you're going about things the way you always do to try to make it seem more like a normal atmosphere for you. For Mueller, I just want to see him avoid – I want to see him be in the strike zone. To me, if his command is fine, if he's throwing strikes, then yeah, he might get hit around. The Mets have the potential to do that to him, but he's got good enough pure stuff to where I think he would be fine. Now, I would say if he goes – I would say three innings, maybe four. If he goes beyond that, fantastic, but I'm not counting on more than four. If he goes four and gives up three runs, you feel pretty good about what he did. I don't think that he's in line to permanently be a starter this year for sure, but he'd been performing pretty well in AAA, and he deserved the call-up over some of the others. He definitely deserved it more than running Kyle Wright back out there, so you got to see what you have in these guys at some point. You can't keep them in the minors forever, and when they start performing well, you got to call them up. So we'll see what happens. This is an important day just to get a split because, like I mentioned, you play the Mets a ton. You're five games back. You play them seven games out of your next 11. There's a chance that you could get yourself all the way up to number one. More likely, even if you just win this two sets against them, win both of those series, then you find yourself in prime position to make a run or to at least feel like you're right there and put pressure on the Mets and make them have to perform in order to continue holding a lead. And that's what you want to do before this All-Star break. What's been an awful season to start the year, the Braves have the potential here at the back end of the first half of the season to really kind of put paid to that and start a whole new narrative and kind of erase the bad taste out of their mouths and make sure you go into the second half with the right type of mojo. I think that it's a very possible for the Braves. I think they definitely have the talent to do so, but it's all going to start today versus the Mets as they take on DeGrom and Jared Eichhoff. Eichhoff is the one that you want to beat up. You want to get them pretty good, and hopefully Ian is going well and gets a full seven. This is why I keep saying let Mueller go against DeGrom, and I'm going to say one more time before we close. Mueller against DeGrom, Ian versus Eichhoff, that's what it should be. I don't know that that's what Snicker's going to do. He might want to have Mueller go against Eichhoff to kind of ease the pressure a little bit, but it's certainly not what I would do. I feel like you're opening yourself up to more negative things that can happen when you do that versus the more positive outcomes that can happen if you stagger them and have when you go with Anderson taking on Eichhoff instead of DeGrom. Hopefully the Braves win both and they take both of these. It'd be nice to see some offense and a doubleheader for a change from the Braves. Hopefully they can get that going today. It's kind of a weird time. 5:10 for the first game. It's going to be, I think it's 8:10 for the second. So it's going to be the late game. Means that I'll get to watch baseball well into the night, so it means that I'll have some good stuff to talk about tomorrow. Hopefully the Braves win both games, and we have a really fun episode to talk about tomorrow. But for now, thank you guys for tuning into today's episode. Always appreciate it. We will be back again tomorrow, right here on Locked On Braves.